Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth.
Welcome to DFW Alive, a show for North Texas by North Texans. Join us each Friday as our local hosts help inspire us to live a life of virtue. Here is your host for today.
Welcome to Faith and Leadership on DFW Alive. This is your host, Jerry Jacob. So excited to join you for an hour today as we help to bring to you some of the great wonders and the fullness of the truth and the beauty of the Catholic Church. And in particular today, this is an amazing time of year. We're in June, the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and it couldn't be a more appropriate, a more timely time of the year for our incredible guest and our incredible topic today. We are going to talk about divine mercy, that incredible teaching that in some ways is eternal, but also for the church and for many of us, it's still a very fresh aspect of our understanding of the faith. And I'm excited that we have with us a guest today who's really so close to the notion and to the to everything that divine mercy is all about. And so I want to introduce to our show Daniel De Silva, president of the Original Divine Mercy Institute. Welcome, Daniel.
Thank you so much. It's good to be with you, Jerry. Thank you.
Thank you for all the service and all the work and all the incredible ministry that you personally are engaged in, Daniel. And we'll talk about all that today. But I think it's, as always, I think I'd like us to start with a prayer. And in particular, I want to pray the collect from the Mass today, which is so beautiful and so complete in and of itself. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O God, who by the glorification of your Christ and the light of the Holy Spirit have unlocked for us the gates of eternity, grant, we pray, that partaking of so great a gift, our devotion may grow deeper and our faith be strengthened. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, tremendous. Well, this show is named Faith and Leadership, and we really attempt to bring to you amazing leaders in our church and in our world, people that are really, that I like to say, are making the city of God come to fruition in our midst. And Daniel De Silva, you are such a great apostle. Thank you for being here. By the way, you're a North Texan, right, Daniel?
I am now.
You got here as quickly as you could?
I am originally from, I should have one of those bumper stickers on. I'm originally from Chicago. In fact, this is a crazy thing to even realize, but my church, St. George Catholic Church in Chicago, is one church away from St. Mary's, where our new Pope grew up and went to Mass. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he was long gone. He's been out of the country for a very long time. You probably haven't run into him in Chicago town, have you?
No.
Well,
we played baseball at the same ballparks, though.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange.
What is it? Is he a Cubby or is he a White Sox fan?
I'm a Cubs fan, so he's a Cubs fan.
Okay. All right. Then we'll just, that's what we're going to say, and we're sticking to that story. So, and Daniel, you know, it's incredible. The faith is ever new. Behold, I make all things new, says Christ, right? And what is remarkable and amazing for me is that, you know, I'm so used to thinking about God as love, right? So that's even our organization, Caritas Group, Caritas Media, is all about God and love. But, you know, in so recently, especially during the pontificate of St. John Paul II, we all were introduced to a relatively new concept, maybe in some ways a really fresh blossoming of that notion of love, and that's divine mercy. And you have such a personal, amazing journey when it comes to divine mercy, and I really would like our listeners today to leave the show with a new appreciation, a new joy, and the understanding of what God really wants for all of us. But first, I want to understand, Daniel, your own your own walk of faith and how you've become such an expert on divine mercy. So tell us a little bit. I think you, from Chicago originally, I think you're, I don't want to mischaracterize you, but you had a pretty exciting life. You were a musician, really, right? A number of years ago, before all of this came about. Kind of give us a little sense for your journey.
This seems like a lifetime ago, as they say, but yes, I was a professional musician for 10 years when I went to North Texas. In fact, the reason that I'm here in the Dallas area is because I went to North Texas to study music in the jazz school.
Jazz, there. Okay, yeah.
And a couple semesters in, I got hired by a band and went on tour and sort of got the bug, as they say.
Right.
And, you know, every time I'd come back off of a tour, and the tours were 3 months, you know, 6 months.
Yeah.
I would come back home, and that would be here.
Yep.
And it just kept happening that way for about 10 years, and Dallas, Fort Worth just sort of became my home. And then after so many years of that, you know, in my late 20s, I had a conversion or a reversion. I was always Catholic.
Yeah.
Back into the faith and began to take things seriously, opening my eyes to the truths of the church.
Yeah.
Listening to Catholic radio, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And I ended up at the University of Dallas, a stone's throw from where we're sitting here. And I had no idea what the University of Dallas was about.
Wow.
I just happened to want to go to school.
Okay.
Finish my degree.
Wow. And, oh, so you finished your undergraduate degree at the University of Dallas.
I did.
Well, so did I. So we're in good company.
Somebody told me that about you. And I thought, I wonder if I'm going to recognize him when I see him. You know?
No, I'm a little older, I think. I'm an old guy compared to you.
I don't know. But that's where everything happened. You know, I quit music and
really?
Things like that. I did. I was going, the long story short, very short, is I swore off music. I promised the Lord I would never touch my musical instruments again because for me, not for everyone, but for me and a lot of others, music is a sort of a pathway to hell.
It's a religion. It's all consuming, right? Could be.
And there's so much privilege thrown at musicians, just unwittingly, people just throw privilege at you. And I've said this before, you know, but man is not made to say no,
right,
all the time to every temptation. We're supposed to avoid temptation.
Yeah.
So music in the world that I was in, trying to reject temptation and, you know, do the right thing. And it was just too difficult.
Yeah.
So I swore I would never touch music again.
Wow.
And a couple of years later, of course, I would be called into it. And then I had 10 more years of music doing a Catholic ministry called Christmas.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. So you were trying to avoid the near occasion of sin, but then so you finished an undergraduate degree at the University of Dallas, and then you returned to the world of jazz music, Christian music, Catholic music?
Catholic music.
Really?
Yeah.
Catholic jazz music?
Oh, no, I try so often not to bring this up, but I have to sometimes. Like now, I was called, you know, no words or anything. There was no voice in my head or any such thing, but I was called 2 years after swearing off music to go into music again and do a Catholic funk band. Exactly.
Why is that embarrassing?
I mean, sounds ridiculous.
Well,
but it lasted for 10 years.
No kidding. Well, you know what though? I mean, there's now in retrospect, it seems kind of like a mild thing.
Now it does. You're right.
Right.
This was back when there was no, you know, I think, John Michael Talbot might've been the only guy doing anything at the time. So I thought Catholic funk band was really strange. And I even told Mary, who seemed to be calling me into this, that she really, you know, she might be the mother of God. This is how I was praying.
Yeah.
But you don't want to do this. You really don't want to do this. But it worked out.
All right. So then you kind of get engaged in that musical life, a funk band, and you started touring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that touring took you where?
Well, we did our first concert. When she called me to do this band, I really went through a lot of confirmation to make sure this is really what she wanted. Because remember, I swore off music, and music was a very dangerous thing.
Yeah.
And I know now that it's really no different in Catholic music as it was in secular music. There's still all the temptations are still there.
Yeah.
So after confirming, I actually went to Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Wow.
In Mexico City. And I prayed there, and sure enough, she gave me the names of the people. I'm speaking very loosely here.
Yep.
You know, but I got the names. I received the names of the people to be in the band, and we did it. And I thought it was a one gig, you know, one show thing.
Wow.
And we did a show at the University of the Museum of Dallas.
Okay.
Downtown Dallas.
Okay.
They had then. This is in '99.
Yeah.
In a nice amphitheater. It sat, I remember this, 444 seats.
Wow.
And we did one show there. We sold it out. We oversold, actually. We had children sitting in the aisles and sitting up in front and everything. And yeah. I had all these professional musicians that I had toured with and stuff. And it was off the hook.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, a week later, we got a phone call from a group in Bermuda, a phone call from a group in Los Angeles.
Wow.
And in Atlanta. And I called all the guys right away and I said, well, we're being invited to go to another, you know, place more shows. Yeah. If you guys want to go, you know, we can do this. And so everybody said yes. And then we ended up, you know, 10 years touring with Crispin and, we did 150 shows a year the last 2 years with that band.
Wow. So you were living the life of a musician on the road.
Yes.
Maybe not the easiest life or the best life.
it was a good life that second round was beautiful. It was completely exhausting. I was definitely beat up.
Yeah.
That's why I look the way I do. Thank goodness this is radio.
Right. So, but not to cut to the chase a bit here, your travels brought you to Lithuania.
Well, we'll go right into it. The last tour of the band, Crispin, was in Lithuania, the last country that we visited.
Yeah.
And I told the guys, I said, this is our last part of the deal I made with Mary when she was calling me to do this, because I was so afraid for my soul.
Yeah.
I said, Mary, look, if you know, first I need to confirm that it's you doing, you know, ask me to do this. But here's what we need to do. Here's a deal we're going to make. One, the salvation of my father's soul, who I thought was in jeopardy.
Yeah.
And he was sick.
Mm.
So the salvation of my father's soul. She says, I'm in Mexico City when I'm praying this. And she says to me, done. Now, what do you want? And I'm, what do you mean done?
Really?
Done. She says, yeah, done. And of course, I know the story of Juan Diego, who's right. trying to avoid his conversations with Mary.
And whose uncle.
His uncle was sick.
At the same time is being
And he
being
says,
healed.
I got to go help my mother. And she says, don't worry about it.
Am I I'm not your mother?
Yes. Yeah. I'm with him now. Yeah. And sure enough, she was with his uncle.
Right.
So anyway,
sidetrack for a moment. So you had a special closeness to Our Lady and you felt like she was speaking to you.
She was my guide.
Okay.
I think of Dante. I was at UD studying all those beautiful books.
Yeah.
She was my guide.
Beatrice. Uh-huh.
Yes. And leading me to her son.
Yeah.
So, the other deal was that she would call me out of Crispin, of this funk band that she's trying to put together as clearly and as loudly as she seems to be calling me into it.
Yeah.
That was our deal.
Mm.
So my father did die after saying the last amen of the last prayer of the last chaplet on the last day of the novena of divine mercy.
Oh my gosh.
He took one breath and died.
Wow.
So that happened.
Ooh.
In fact, Father McGuire, who's here at UD, went to hear my father's confession just before
goodness.
He passed.
Wow.
So thank you, Father McGuire, for that.
Right.
The other part was that she called me out clearly and loudly. And she did while I was in Lithuania.
Yeah.
I just had it in prayer that this was the end.
Yeah.
So I told the guys our last show. The guys played the last gig for me. We were outside in some sort of an outdoor festival.
Okay.
And the guy said, Danny Ray, you're going to sit in the audience, and we're going to play the last set for you.
Oh, man.
The last 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And they did. Basically, they made fun of me, and they rewrote some of the lyrics and things like that. But while I was sitting there, a priest came up to me and said, tonight, you sleeping with Jesus tonight.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought, what in the world? He put his hand on my shoulder, and I said, come on. And he was in plain clothes. Because even then at the time, you know, the priests sort of tried to disguise themselves. It's a leftover from communism.
Yeah. This was the early 2000s?
This was in 2009.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
yep.
and a lot of them were wearing the clerics, but this guy was a holdout.
Okay.
And he said, yes, tonight you sleeping with Jesus tonight. And I thought, what? And the guy next to me, who was the promoter of the tour, said, don't worry about it. He's a priest. Okay. Father Vide, this was his name. I said, sure, Father Vide, where are you going to go?
Okay.
And he took me to this little, tiny little church with old wooden doors, opened the doors up, and there was this new renovated all-white church, and there above the altar was the original image of Divine Mercy.
Oh,
and
he said,
"This original image, this." And I said, "No way."
Right.
Everybody knows that the original image has to be in Poland.
Where St. Faustina's from.
Where she's from.
Yeah.
And he says, "No, this original Faustina painting." I remember he said, "Faustina painting, this original Faustina painting." And I said, "It's impossible." And then he said, "Faustina living here, Vilnius, Lithuania, not Poland. She see Jesus 80 times in Vilnius, Lithuania." And my mind was blown.
Wow.
And that moment was the moment I switched horses. There's that move in the Mexican rodeo, you know, where the guy jumped, they're full gallop and he goes from horse to horse. Right. I switched horses immediately and that became my life.
So, okay. So let's be honest. Clearly, I'm in the presence of someone who's closer to the Lord. I mean, not only was Our Lady speaking to you clearly and you were listening, but, the Lord sent a priest to tap you on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. And I know there's something very beautiful about this because of all of your teaching, Daniel, about Divine Mercy and about Jesus's priestly ministry, that he confers through his image even. I'm going to talk about all that here, but so clearly you're not wasting a lot of time in your life. You finished this musical gig and you slept in that building?
He made a pallet for me. Now this is not kosher. I'm a very traditional. I'm not a Latin master, although I love it. Yeah. I love all that stuff. I am traditional. I like the traditional stuff.
Yeah.
And I know this is not kosher.
Yeah.
But he made a pallet for me behind the altar.
Yeah.
Under the tabernacle. Under the painting. So painting, tabernacle, me, altar.
Wow.
And I slept there all night.
Well, and okay, I don't want to give up too much of your thunder here, but, under the painting and the way geometrically and physically the way that painting is structured, Jesus, those rays are emanating and going downward from him. Well, this is amazing stuff. We are talking with Daniel Da Silva, who is the president of the Original Divine Mercy Institute, and he's starting to unpack for us the beautiful mystery and the beautiful teaching and the incredible grace that's available to all of us with the concept of divine mercy. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you on Faith and Leadership on DFW Live.
Is God calling you to a religious vocation? The Diocese of Fort Worth invites men and women ages 18 to 40 to the annual Vocation Awareness Program. The 35th Annual Vocation Awareness Weekend will be held on Friday, June 13th to Sunday, June 15th at the University of Dallas in Irving. The Weekend of Discernment is a unique opportunity to join others in seeking answers about a religious vocation. There are no fees to attend, private rooms, and all meals are provided. For more information, visit vapinfo.org.
Quality sleep is so important for your health in so many different ways. Do you find that you wake up multiple times during the night, clenching in your sleep? Feel tired even though you've slept for 7+ hours. How long can you sustain this? Maybe it's time to be proactive and find out. I'm Dr. Kyle Eberlein at Mid-Cities Dental, a sponsor here at GRN. You can call us to get your sleep evaluated in the convenience of your own home. Our number is 817-282-9321, or you can visit our website, midcitiesdental.com.
Would you like to encounter Christ while participating in a life-changing mission trip to Peru? Vera Aqua Vera Vida, whose mission is to bring clean water solutions to developing countries, invites you to travel to Piura, Peru, with them July 20th through the 29th, where you can serve the local community by working to improve their access to clean water. For more information about Vera Aqua Vera Vida's mission and the details of their summer mission trip to Peru, visit givetruewater.org. That's givetruewater.org.
Hi, this is Rick Self, the Executive Director for Catholic Brothers for Christ. We are a Dallas-Fort Worth ministry for men that helps men get engaged and active in their Catholic faith. We do this by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with men's conferences and events. We are rooted in prayer, the sacraments, and fellowship. To learn more about Catholic Brothers for Christ, visit CatholicBrothersForChrist.com. That's CatholicBrothersForChrist.com.
Welcome back to DFW Live. This is Jerry Jacob. I do want a little shout out to the Guadalupe Radio Network, to all of the staff, the incredible staff, Cecil Anderson, who's producing this show. Thank you, Cecil. Dave Palmer here. And there's an incredible event on the 19th of July. The 25th anniversary of the Guadalupe Radio Network is going to be celebrated with a full, an incredible day of speakers, Eucharistic celebration, veneration of relics, adoration, confession, and a concert that ends all of it with Matt Maher at the end of the day. July 19th, go to grnonline.com, look for the events tab, sign up. There's no cost to attend. We hope you'll join us. Incredible speakers, incredible day, and it's called Keeping the Promise. GRN has been keeping the promise to its listeners and to the church and to the faithful for all these 25 years. And we're so privileged to celebrate it with all of you. So thank you to the GRN for all that they do. Daniel Da Silva is with us today, and he's telling us about his journey. Daniel, you, right, so now you have just been invited to, and you spend the night literally under the original image, the original painting, which is so painstakingly prepared by really by Saint Faustina and a painter that she and her spiritual director and a painter that she commissioned, painstakingly, really incredible methodical detail. And I am ashamed to say that I have started to learn because of you, Daniel, and the original Divine Mercy Institute. By the way, what's your website? Will you give that to us?
Thank you. It's originaldivinemercy.com.
originaldivinemercy.com. I've started to learn how, of course, the Divine Mercy teaching is so, it's a beautiful teaching, and it means a lot to me personally. But I have come to discover how there's so much out there, particularly artistically, that is not really so far away from the original original image and the original conception that Saint Faustina brought to the world through this painting. So to tell us, anyway, so you, here you are, you discover that she's lived in Lithuania, that that's where the painting was commissioned, and now you've just woken up after spending the night under Jesus.
I did. It was a beautiful night, and we had Mass in the morning. In fact, the priest told me before I went to bed, before he left, locked me in the, this is before the shrine.
Yeah.
Was 24 hours. Now it's 24 hours. It's adoration 24 hours a day,
yeah,
unless there's Mass.
Yeah.
There's always the Eucharist on,
wow,
the altar. It's a beautiful,
okay,
place to be.
Yeah.
But this is before then, and the doors were locked. It was locked with actually a chain and, wow, a padlock.
Yeah.
And he locked me in, and I slept there. We had Mass the next morning, and I began immediately to begin to ask questions. I doubted still that this was the original image. I was convinced, yeah, because we were all taught, right?
Yeah.
She's from Poland. She lived in Poland. It happened, right, in Poland. She got the chapel in Poland. The painting was done in Poland. Everything's Poland.
Wow.
None of it happened there.
Yeah.
All the things in the diary that she writes about, it all happened in Vilnius, Lithuania.
Oh, my God.
And this is not, I didn't discover this or, you know, I'm not an archaeologist who discovered this
you
painting.
You stumbled on it.
I
Jesus
did.
Jesus called you there and you.
I will not deny that. But what I will say is that for some reason, this information has been stuffed.
Yeah.
For all these years.
Yeah.
It's now coming out since the film, to be honest. In 2015, we did this film.
Yeah.
And since then, the truth is now being admitted to.
Yeah.
But for all the time until then, it was all just stuffed. I can't think of another word for it.
Well, and you know, it's important to me, as always, these shows run way too short because we don't get through so much of the information. But what I really want you to help us to understand, maybe some of the core beautiful things about her, about what happened with the apparitions. So Saint Faustina Kowalska, who was canonized by Saint JP II, is that correct?
Correct.
Had a series of apparitions, right? And Jesus gave her a lot of instructions and gave her a lot of his truth. And I think she passed away. I believe that her lifetime ended just before World War II, I believe. I don't recall if that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
38.
And so these apparitions were happening, I think it's in February of 1931 where Jesus essentially commissioned, asked Saint Faustina to help to create this image. So tell us about Divine Mercy. Let's kind of start to unpack the teaching as well as what's happening with the image here, right?
He appears to her in 31 in Plotz, Poland.
Okay.
One time.
Okay.
And then she is, for various reasons, transferred to Lithuania, to Vilnius, Lithuania.
Okay.
Super interesting political dynamic and cultural dynamic that's happening in Vilnius because it's being occupied by the Polish.
Wow.
Which leads a lot of people to say, and we've been taught. And
that
this
the
is,
Polish are always occupied by the Russians.
That they're very busy. They're always occupied.
Yeah.
there's a certain cushioning about this that is an attempt to make everything happen, again, in Poland.
Yeah.
And the phrase is, well, Vilnius was Poland at the time. It was not. It was being occupied.
Yeah.
There are a lot of reasons for it, but the big main reason is because Russia came through Vilnius to occupy Poland. And so Poland went, we're going to put a stop to that. And they went and they occupied Vilnius with guns and military, and it was not nice, and it was very ugly.
Okay.
So there has been 100 years since then, right? These are in the 30s, happening in the 30s,
yeah.
Of tension.
Yes.
Between those two cultures.
I see.
At the same time that there is tension, there's also peace. There's also brothers. People are intermarrying. There's a culture of Lithuanians and Polish people south, because Poland is south of Vilnius.
Okay.
South of Vilnius, there's an enclave of Lithuanian Polish people that are now mixing. I compare it to the Cajuns.
Yeah.
It's its own sort of culture.
Okay.
Father Sopotko is born there.
Okay.
He considers himself Polish, but he's born in the Vilnius region. St. Faustina comes from Poland, and they meet in Vilnius.
And he becomes her spiritual director.
She recognizes him from a dream.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
She says, you're going to be the guy. Like, she almost appoints him. Of course, Jesus told her, this man is going to help you with what they called the work.
Yeah.
They called it the work.
Okay.
He's going to help you. Jesus said to Faustina, this is a priest after my own heart.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know what kind of recommendation could be better
than
that.
Doesn't get better than that, yeah. But I'm sorry. There's no way to encapsulate this. But what is the teaching of divine mercy?
Yeah, the teaching is I like to say it's nothing new.
Yeah.
And at the same time,
it's incredibly
groundbreaking.
Fresh. Yeah.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, the teaching begins with a painting. Jesus asked St. Faustina for a painting.
Wow.
He never asked her for a diary.
Really?
This is what he says, I left my throne in heaven.
Wow.
To have this done.
Oh my goodness.
The painting.
Wow.
Blessed Father Michael Sopotko, while she was confessing to him, he was the confessor of several orders of nuns.
Yeah.
He said, I don't have time to listen to all the stories you're telling me about Jesus appearing to you. He didn't believe a word. He writes in his own diary. He didn't believe a word of it.
Wow. You
write it down. I'll read it later, which he did not. His memoirs. He did not read it until later.
Wow.
But he had her writing it down. She burned the diary. At one point, she said, an angel in the night came to tell me to burn the diary, that it was going to come to nothing. And he said, that was no angel. That was
the demon.
He would have said, Bigdasis. That was Bigdasis, the devil.
Uh-huh.
And he said, now you're going to rewrite the diary. How about this? You're going to rewrite the diary, but this time with more details. And
my goodness.
You're going to elaborate. You're going to tell me everything that you can remember. So now we have this
God
super
works
elaborate.
In mysterious ways.
Exactly.
What a sense of humor. So, I had no idea. I thought St. Faustina's core work was a diary and these messages about divine mercy that she wrote down. But it started with the image. Tell us at the same time now, tell us about the image. What's so amazing about this image?
You know, in all fairness, the diary was all we had for a while.
Okay.
It is true that Jesus asked for the diary. It is that Jesus asked for the painting.
Yeah.
Sopotko asked for the diary. It is also true. Clearly, Sopotko was inspired by the Holy Spirit to ask her to write the diary. It is a treasure of writing.
And maybe helps us to unpack some of it. Right?
Clearly. In fact, I like to say it's a narrative about the painting.
Okay.
The one thread that goes from the beginning to the end of the diary is about the painting.
Wow.
There are a lot of other anecdotes, a lot of other beautiful things, and Jesus does ask her while she's writing the diary, write this, make sure you include this.
Yeah.
But the painting is what he came to ask for.
Yeah.
And so there's something new.
Yeah.
You know, what is the teaching of divine mercy? It's in the painting.
Wow.
It is elaborated on in the diary, but the teaching of divine mercy is in this painting. Jesus came to make a painting.
Oh, my goodness.
And he insisted on this painting being done, which they couldn't get done. It's all in the diary. The diary is about the painting. Nobody would help her. Nobody would paint
it. She was not an artist. She couldn't make it happen.
She even tried. She realize this is surely this is not what God is. Yeah. Jesus is coming to have done this little stick figure of this is not it. So she tried really hard. Finally, Sopochko says, I got a guy, Kazimorowski. He happens to live downstairs from Father Sopochko.
Oh, my goodness.
And he paints the image according to her description. Okay. A lot of people will say she didn't like the painting. That when the painting was finished, it was inadequate.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, and I know that, that even that aspect of it is so beautiful, right? Could any reproduction be adequate, you know, to describe the beauty of Christ the Lord, right? Jesus? No. So in one sense, theologically, that's accurate.
Right. She's onto something without knowing it. She had three levels of school.
Yeah.
She didn't have any theology. She didn't go to UD.
Yeah.
She had three levels of school, and she was known for being a little bit simple and, two separate things, quite poor. And none of the convents wanted her because of these two things. But she was saying things that we now can, 100 years later, can unpack and realize that when she asked Jesus in a little bit of frustration, who will paint you as beautiful as you are?
Right.
I mean, I can say to you, Jerry, who could paint you as beautiful as you are? I mean, really, what if I saw in you really the beauty that Jesus sees, the beauty that he would die for on that horrible death?
Yeah.
Because he sees that beauty in you. What if I saw it all of a sudden? Yeah. God allowed me to see that eternal beauty that you really are. And I would say Michelangelo would quit painting if he saw it.
Right.
He would say, I can do the David. I can carve the, I can do the Sistine Chapel. But Jerry, what the Lord has shown me, I can't paint that.
That's right.
And Jesus says, it's adequate. He says, it's not in the colors. And look at the colors. They're beautiful.
They are,
We're looking at a high-resolution, you know, image.
Yeah,
replica.
We're looking in studio at an incredible image, one of Daniel's reproductions,
It's stunning.
Yeah.
But he says it's not in the beauty of the color. It's not in the brushstrokes of the artist, which now with the high-resolution version, which we are the proprietors of, you can see the brushstrokes now.
Yeah.
He says that's not the beauty of the image. The beauty of the image is the mercy, the grace I will give to those who venerate my mercy through the image.
Wow.
Crazy talk.
It is crazy talk. First of all, it's difficult to describe a painting on the radio, but at the originaldivinemercy.com, originaldivinemercy.com, you can go there. You'll see, you won't see full reproductions, but there's one of Daniel's ministries with this institute is really to bring very faith, we call a lot of fidelity to the reproduction of this original image, digitally scanned at an incredibly high resolution, incredibly high level of detail, still, you know, not the original. But Daniel, Divine Mercy still, but to go back, so this is a new teaching in some ways. It's not just God's love, but his immeasurable, unfathomable mercy, which Jesus represents. And however, let's talk a little bit more about the image and how it brings this to light, how it brings to our eyes the notion. So Jesus is in a cincture and an alb and a cincture, right? That's what he's wearing. So and first of all, there's always something very priestly about this, correct? You said that this image, in this image, there seems to be that Jesus is really telling us about himself, you know, the mystical body of Christ, which is the church, and that the priestly ministry is all about bringing that mercy to man. Tell us more about that.
That's right. And she, you know, along with to go into this from what we just spoke of, that it's the grace and the mercy that he will let flow from the image. Strangely, from the image. She even saw the rays come to life at some point.
Wow.
Through the image.
Wow.
She was obsessed with this image. It is untrue. It is just not nestled in the diary to say that she didn't like this image. She was completely obsessed with this image, and so was Christ.
Wow.
He begged and begged, commanded and commanded, the image must be venerated in public. On her deathbed, she's writing letters to Father Michael Sopochko. This is not in the diary.
Yeah.
This is in a book called Letters of St. Faustina, which I recommend highly.
Okay.
The Letters of St. Faustina. She's writing to Father Sopochko, please, I'm dying, please, put the painting in public somewhere. This is her
venerated.
Last effort.
Yeah.
So the beginning of the work of Divine Mercy, is, if it, we can say it's the diary or the apparition, begins with the painting, paint yeah. an image.
Yes.
According to the pattern, it ends. Her mission on life, in life ends with obsession with the painting.
Yeah.
What's being said her?
What is being said in the painting, though?
He's dressed as a priest.
Yeah.
This has been unpacked through our film. It's now common knowledge, but there's so much more. Not only is he revealing himself, the high priest.
Yes.
Dressed as, can we say, the low priest, Father Michael Sopochko, who modeled for the painting.
For the painting, yeah.
Because Kazimierowski wasn't getting exactly what was happening here or there, and he wanted to see it visually, which many artists need something to draw. They don't just draw.
That's right. Of course. Know.
So here's Jesus, in a nutshell, showing us that divine mercy, represented by the rays,
yep.
mercy is not rays. Mercy's represented by two rays,
okay,
which a red ray and a pale ray, not a white ray, not a blue ray, but a red ray and a pale ray. The red represents blood, and the pale ray represents water. Mercy, represented by these two intermingling rays. You can see there's red in the pale ray.
Yes.
And there's pale in the red ray.
Yeah.
These are painted with dashes of a brush, not strokes.
I see.
There's not red over here and white over here.
Okay.
They're intermingling. You can see there's orange down at the bottom.
That's right.
They're mixing.
That's
just
right.
Like at Mass, when the water mingles with the wine.
Wow.
May the mingling, the priest prays, right? Are you an altar boy? He would pray quietly to the altar.
Right.
May the mingling of the water and wine bring us to everlasting life
while
he's doing it.
Yeah.
This is happening. And Sopochko is writing this in his memoirs,
right,
which are, for some reason, not translated fully yet into English. He's pointing this out, that this is the moment of Mass here.
Yes.
This is Jesus, who took the cross, dressed as a priest, wearing a priestly alb and cincture. The priest only wears the alb and cincture at Mass.
At confession, right?
Now, yes.
In 1930s. Back at that time.
Yes. Only at Mass would he wear the alb and the cincture. This is Jesus dressed as a priest at Mass.
At that supreme moment.
When we celebrate the sacrifice of the Mass, sacrifice of the cross, we're at the crucifixion.
At
Calvary.
And that's the point. In other words, he is on the cross.
Yes.
He is on the cross, and we get to be with him with that beautiful, the sacrifice of the Mass every time.
That's right.
Every time. But so go on.
This is a mystical painting of Jesus on the cross. I can go from detail to detail to detail, and every single detail in this painting, every little square inch, will reveal that this is a picture of Christ on the cross. However, it's also a picture painted with incredible skill of the eschaton. So the end of times, when all things are gone and only heaven and us
remain
united with Christ. Holy Trinity, the Holy Trinity is there. I can point it out to you. And so we are painted in this picture.
Yeah.
You and I are painted in this picture. This is us united with the Holy Trinity for all eternity. It's in this painting. It's in no other, quote, version of what is called Divine Mercy. I know that there are other paintings that people really love, and that's all that is fine. I have nothing against those.
Right.
They're not depictions of what Saint Faustina saw.
Yep.
This painting, and this alone, is the accurate description, the accurate painting, revelation of what she saw.
Yeah.
Any painting can be called Divine Mercy.
Well, it's that mystical saint and her mystical experiences revealed by Jesus. And there's more to it. I mean, there's so much to this painting, and I had no idea, Daniel. I have to say thank you for devoting your life to it. Because the rays emanate. It's not clear where they emanate from, right? There's no beginning to them, right? Of course, it's Jesus. You know, he's our infinite God, infinite love and mercy. And also, the rays come right off the painting at the bottom. I mean, it's those rays continue past the frame of the painting to us, right? And also, in a sense, I believe, and he's looking down, I understand, from what some of what you've taught us, that he's looking down as he was looking down from the cross.
Right. He said as much with words to Saint Faustina, this is my gaze from the cross. Well, he's looking for us from the cross there. And you're right. You know, there's infinite, and then there's unfathomable, which, of course, is unmeasurable.
Yes.
So he does say that his mercy is unfathomable.
Yeah.
But he doesn't say that it's going to be around forever. He says, now is the time of mercy. It's the time of mercy that we can take advantage of. He asks everyone to rush to his mercy.
Yes.
Because after this is a time when he will be a just judge.
Yes.
So there is a common misconception that what he means by unfathomable, which means unmeasurable, is that it's infinite and, you know, goes on forever and everybody gets it and you can't escape it.
Yes.
You can escape it just by declining.
That's right. But, and, you know, there's even an aspect of the chaplet and of St. Faustina's writings where she's saying, in so many words, I'm not going to reproduce it correctly, say it correctly, you know, what you, Christ, have gained with your incredible sacrifice, you know, give us the grace to be, to accept it and not to let it go to waste, mm-hmm. right? This mercy. But what is your, I guess suffice to say, we got off the topic in one sense, but you, from that moment in Lithuania in the late 2000s, you said, okay, here we go. This is my life now. I am going to, what you have essentially dedicated your life, Daniel, to the original Divine Mercy image and to the teaching.
I would love to think that it was like that, but it is true.
Yeah.
But it was more accidental than it was some noble decision that a grown, mature man would make. I'm so not that.
Yeah.
But Jesus knows how to get who he wants to do what he wants them to do.
Yeah.
Faustina, Sopotko, Kazimierowski, and me.
Yeah.
Had he told me that my life would be what it is today, I might have declined. Had he told me how much work Crispin was going to be, I for sure would have declined.
Yeah.
I made a documentary. I felt called to make a documentary revealing the history of this painting because I became very obvious to me that we didn't know this. All the people that I imagined that I knew were devoted to Divine Mercy had no idea, along with myself, one, that it was in Vilnius, two, that there was that even one existed. There was an original painting that existed. Nobody gave it at the time. Nobody was even thinking about this.
Yeah.
And I decided to make a documentary. I had no idea that I would spend every day of my life now printing replicas, making frames in my woodshop covered in sawdust, and then going around the country and the world doing presentations in multiple languages about the history and the significance of this painting, which is still very unknown.
Because, and again, it's the painting itself is has incredible worth, right? It's not just a teaching, and this is not just a throwaway, a little side thing that Saint the painting was really the centerpiece of what Jesus wanted.
You said it yourself. You said we have been taught or led to believe, I should say, that the diary is her magnum opus, you know, her greatest work.
Yeah.
In fact, that's a footnote or a glossary, if you will, about what we're seeing in this painting. This masterpiece, this painting, is her life's work.
Wow. What, by the way, speaking about the movie, what is the name of the movie and how can people find this documentary?
The name of the movie it's very creatively named, The Original Image of Divine Mercy. And you can watch it on Vimeo.
Okay.
You just go to Vimeo and type in the original image of Divine Mercy.
Okay. And I think on your website, you've got some.
Also on the website, there's a movie page there. It's in English, Spanish. Actually, it's in seven languages.
Wow. So. OriginalDivineMercy.com. We are talking today with Daniel Da Silva, who leads the Original Divine Mercy Institute, about the incredible revelation and apparition and grace that comes to all of us from Divine Mercy, from the teaching of Divine Mercy, and even this particular image. And I really encourage all of you to seek it out. We are going to take a break, and we'll be right back on Faith and Leadership on DFW Live.
Hi, I'm Chris Nisi, owner and operator of Aircraft Dispatcher Training Center. My wife and I are parishioners at St. Anne's Parish in Coppell. We are blessed to be sponsors of the GRN, the radio station that brought us into the Catholic Church. We train aircraft dispatchers to work behind the scenes, planning flights, and supporting pilots en route. If you would like to learn more, you can visit us in Farmers Branch or online at adtcdallas.com. That's Alpha Delta Tango Charlie Dallas.com.
Today's culture has mystified masculinity, where emotions are a sign of weakness. All men, 18 and older, are invited to reclaim their identity as true men following Christ. The Men in Front Men's Summit will take place on Friday, June 27th through Saturday, June 28th at St. Martin de Porres Catholic Church in Prosper. The summit includes fellowship, beer, and brisket on Friday evening. Begins Saturday with Mass and dynamic talks by Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Register now at stmartindepoorsmenssummit.org.
Attention expecting families. Birthpoint is a sponsor of the GRN, and we invite you to speak with us about your next birth experience. Our midwives are trained to provide care throughout your pregnancy, labor, and delivery, as well as postpartum care. We also offer monthly classes on topics ranging from childbirth education to breastfeeding support. To learn more about Birthpoint or to arrange a visit, our phone number is 972-215-6934 or online at birthpoint.com. Birthpoint, where we deliver your legacy naturally.
All 7th through 12th graders are invited to an unforgettable summer camp weekend. The summer camp To the Heights will take place on Thursday, July 10th through Sunday, July 13th at Sabine Creek Ranch in Royce City. Through fun, adventure, prayer, and team activities, explore what it means to live in community and go to the heights of discipleship in Christ. For more information or to register, visit St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church website at stadallas.org and click on events.
Welcome back. This is Jerry Jacob. We are talking with Daniel Da Silva today about the original Divine Mercy image and the incredible teaching. We've talked so much. There's so much to tell, so much to see, and encourage listeners to seek out the original image. And of course, you can find that on this website. Very, very different from a lot of what's out there. And I personally had no idea. Even an example, Daniel. This is not, we want to talk about some other aspects of this teaching in this segment, but even the words, Jesus, I trust in you, and the way those correspond to the image, I think we're so used to seeing those words right on the, maybe on the canvas or on the image, but that's not the way that it was intended. That's not the way St. Faustina wanted it, and that's not the way that you promote the image. Tell us about that.
We work under the auspices of the Archdiocese of Vilnius, of course, they're the proprietors of this painting, the custodians.
Yeah.
And it is preserved in its pristine form. So it's when we do replicas, they're untouched, they're unaltered, they're in the same shape, dimension, and ratio.
Oh, I see. So it's just very long vertical portrait sort of.
That's correct. Twice as tall as it is wide.
Wow.
Saint Faustina never indicated to the artist, please paint Jesus, I trust in you, under the feet of Jesus. You can see there's not room down there.
Right.
That, suffice it to say, very simply, I can just articulate that Jesus, I trust in you is our signature. That's what Jesus called it. It's your signature. Your name is no longer Jerry Jacob. It's now the name of Jesus. Begins with Jesus and ends with Jesus. Jesus, I trust in you.
Yes.
That's your contract. You're signing your signature. Right. It's your prayer. It doesn't belong in the St. Faustina never saw that floating under the feet. You know, Jesus, Jesus, Ufam, Tobi. She never saw that.
It belongs in,
on our side.
It's to me to express that to Jesus as I'm contemplating this image.
That's right.
Is that right?
There was no indication it should be on the bottom. Jesus never said that. Sopochko did.
Yeah.
He said it should be on the bottom. But Jesus never said, put it on the bottom. It is almost our presence along with this painting. Yes, it should be there.
Yep.
On a plate, on a metal plate, on the frame, affixed to the frame.
Got it.
It is outside of the proscenium, if you will, or the mystical portal.
Yes.
Where she sees this vision. It's not part of the vision. It's our prayer to Jesus, our surrender to Jesus.
And certainly it is what he wants us to do, and it's a great segue. I want you to tell us a little bit, you know, what does the contemplation of this image bring us to as people of faith? I mean, and this is also the time, maybe you can tell us, Daniel, through this conversation, what should we be doing with, you know, when it comes to understanding Jesus and his mercy, and his love, and how should this prompt us to take action, and what should we be doing pastorally?
This painting, I believe, and Jesus said, should be venerated around the world. That means to me that everyone should have one. Everyone should at the very least, have access to this painting. Not any painting of Divine Mercy, but the original masterpiece of Divine Mercy. The higher the resolution, the better, because as you can see, it is absolutely stunning in its highest resolution. You're looking at an 8,000 DPI replica.
Wow.
8,000 dots per square inch.
Yeah, and you know, you have no idea the way the rays proceed and the striations in there. There's something really, it almost, I don't know, it looks a little bit like human muscle or something like that, right? You're talking about blood and the way that mingles, but go on. So, right, and I do think there's something mystical.
Yes.
There's something, I think it can be a uniquely prayerful and contemplative thing that if we were to really pay attention to this image and use our senses, which are given to us by the Lord, right? We are miraculous. We are human beings. Our senses, the Lord wants us to use them in contemplating Him. And there's something incredible and beautiful about the image as I look at it here.
You have on our right side, you have the mystical rays representing mercy coming from the body of Christ. The mystical body of Christ meaning being the church here on earth.
Okay.
Sure, we're seeing it, the actual physical body of Christ. But today, right now, these rays represent the Holy Spirit who brings mercy to the world now, comes from the mystical body of Christ, the church, through, on the left, on our left, his right, through the Holy Catholic priesthood. There he is, dressed as a priest. He is a priest, undeniably, in this picture.
Wow.
He's making the sign of the cross upon us.
Yes.
This is mercy comes from the church through the Holy Catholic priesthood. That's the message of divine mercy. It happens at Mass. This is Jesus saying, I'm looking for you at Mass. The sign of the cross is, it's a mini Mass.
Yes.
Right? Because the cross is his cross.
Yes.
And here's the man who took the cross, giving you the sign, placing his own cross upon you without you having to suffer.
Yeah.
He's putting it on you just like he asked us to do. This is a plead of Christ that we would show up at Mass, any Mass.
Yeah.
He wants us at Mass to be present at his cross while he suffers, while he loves us upon his marriage bed.
Yeah.
That's what this painting is saying. Go to Mass.
Well, what's staggering is an entire theology in an image. What's amazing is how reaffirming. There's nothing in this image, and there's everything in this image except what he gave us, right? Yes. He gave us the faith. He gave us the new covenant. He gave us the church, the mystical body of Christ. Even, you can't see this on the radio, but I understand that the way he's gesturing, his right hand raised in blessing, no higher than his shoulder. This is actually at the time, it was a very strict observance that priests would not raise their right hand above their shoulder line as they were blessing the faithful.
Which is important here because in representations of what St. Faustina saw, she sees Jesus as a priest, dressed as a priest, doing priestly gestures. When you see the hand raised up high, that St. Faustina never, by the way, this is the only painting she ever saw. She never saw that other. She would say, that's not what I saw. Yeah. Jesus was acting as a priest. And here, with the hand up high, he's not acting as a priest.
Right.
Here, in the original image, with his hand low, just like the priests made the sign of the cross, it's very clear to a pedestrian in 1930s.
Yes.
This is Jesus not just dressed as a priest. Because in the other paintings he's wearing the, Father Sopotchko called it a tunic and a sash. I won't get into that, but he's wearing a sash, often baby blue or pink.
Got it.
We can get into that too, but he's wearing a sash and his hands way up high.
Yeah.
St. Faustina would have said, and Sopotchko in fact did say, that's not what she saw. Mm. The hand has to be down here.
Simplicity itself and profound in itself, right? So, and by the way, how affirming for our priests, right? Our ministers who have given their life to Christ.
Yes.
That Jesus in 1931, this is present day, that he is reaffirming the place of the ministerial priesthood, right? With his royal priesthood, and telling us all, come be with me. Come, come to the cross at Mass and in the pinnacle of our faith, you know, so that you can experience my love, my mercy, my redemption. And it flows out to you. It's unfathomable and it flows out to you and it's available for all. And I know that Jane Faustine was very pained that she, her life's work and beyond her life's work was to bring people to an appreciation and estimation of what Jesus' mercy and what God's mercy is all about.
You're right. It's all right there. For the priests and for the people in the pews, for all the church, you have Jesus saying, what the priest is doing,
yeah,
I am doing. In Persona Christi is right there. There's so much in this painting that could not have been done in I can't think of another way.
Yeah.
But it's a masterpiece of theology, not just of painting,
yeah,
but of catechesis and theology. Surely.
Yeah.
This is what Christ wanted.
Well, and very briefly, because we don't have a ton of time, but let's go back to the central message of divine mercy, right? Why is that so important to us? I mean, it's so easy to be despondent and despair and say, well, I'm a sinner, or I'm not worthy, right? So what is Christ saying to us with this teaching?
Yeah, this mercy is, it's different than, this divine mercy is different than mercy.
Okay.
It's divine mercy.
Yeah.
And we can say that Jesus is the divine mercy. He's mercy itself.
Yes.
But he's pouring himself out. This mercy is not something other than him.
Yeah.
This mercy coming forth from him, it proceeds from the Father and the Son. This is the Holy Spirit coming out as mercy.
Yes.
This is him.
Yeah.
That is spewing, if you will. It's a fire hose or a torrent of mercy flowing from his from his heart. We would assume his heart, which just means his core, himself, his center, his most intimate self. That's him coming forth from that picture. And what he's asking us to do is to accept, get in those rays of mercy. I said in the beginning, mercy is not rays. Get inside that mercy.
Mm.
Allow that mercy to wash us in the blood.
Yes.
Wash our robes white as snow.
Mm.
And that happens in confession. There it is. The priest is going to do it.
And by the way, also this cincture, this Alban cincture, is what the priest now wears at confession.
Yes,
right?
Correct. That's correct.
That's the other
which
place.
Which is a good point. Yes.
Where we are offered this reconciliation with our Savior.
And we're made, she asks, who's going to paint you in the image? Who's going to paint you as beautiful as you are?
Yeah.
We are images of God. We are created in his image. Yeah. We are, and we always will be, a better image than even this painting.
Yes.
Of God himself. And so we let him paint us with his sign of the cross like a brush.
Yes.
There it is.
Well, and by the way, and I'm going to reiterate one thing, right? Where can we participate in Christ's supreme sacrifice? Well, at the foot of the cross.
Amen.
Can't be at the foot of the cross 2,000 years ago.
Correct.
But what Christ is telling us is the Holy Eucharist. Every chance we get, we're right there with him, right? Time stands still. To use the words of a close friend of mine who has another similar ministry. Time stands still. All of eternity stands still when I recreate my divine sacrifice in front of you. Three things I'm going to ask you before we're almost out of time. What can people do to learn more? I know there's a couple of things that you recommend for people to kind of get closer to divine mercy.
Sure. First of all, have an image. I think the diary is a work of art in and of itself. Pray that chaplet. Jesus asks us, he makes promises. He never made a promise about those who read the diary.
Yeah.
All the promises were about the chaplet, which, by the way, is a prayer to God the Father.
Yes.
Hiding behind Jesus. It's saying, for the sake of his passion, God the Father, have mercy on us, God the Father. Have mercy on us. It's a prayer to the Father.
Yeah.
Hiding behind Christ. So we pray that chaplet over and over. We especially pray for people that are dying or people that are sick, even people that are in purgatory.
Yeah.
That chaplet is super powerful. Jesus promised us that he would defend us as his own glory, as if he would let a drop of his glory fade away.
Yeah.
He will not.
Incredible.
So that promise is huge. And of course,
pray the chaplet. And of course, you also lead some trips to Vilnius to see the original, right? You do that. Yeah. So,
every October.
Go to original. There you go. OriginalDivineMercy.com. We don't have any time left, but Daniel, let's end with just a little snippet of the chaplet, and maybe if you would lead us, and we'll follow here.
Absolutely. So we're gonna take an excerpt from the chaplet. So we're gonna jump in the middle. But these are the prayers that he gave to Saint Faustina. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
Let's just point out that he just described the Eucharist.
Wow.
We are offering the Eucharist. This is about the crucifixion.
Yep.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Good.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Daniel Da Silva. Thank you for your time. Thank you, Sissel Anderson. We'll be back with you next time on Faith and Leadership and DFW Alive.
Rest on mercy.